Isaiah 118. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they be as wool. It is now that we must keep ourselves and our children unspotted from the world. It is now that we must wash our robes of character and make them white in the blood of the Lamb. It is now that we must overcome pride, passion, and spiritual slothfulness. It is now that we must awake and make determined effort for symmetry of character. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Hebrews 4:7. We are in the most trying position, waiting, watching for the Lord's appearing. The world is in darkness. But ye brethren, says Paul, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. 1 Thessalonians 5:4. It is ever God's purpose to bring light out of darkness, joy out of sorrow, rest out of weariness, for the waiting, wanting, longing soul. What are you doing? What am I doing in the great work of preparation? Remember, those who are uniting with the world are receiving the worldly more and preparing for the mark of the beast. Those who are distrustful of self, who are humbling themselves before God and purifying their souls by obeying the truth, these are receiving the heavenly more and preparing for the seal of God in their foreheads. When the decree goes forth and the stamp is impressed, their character will remain pure and spotless for eternity. Now is the time to prepare. Now is the time to prepare. So prepare, prepare, prepare.
Let us pray. Our kind Heavenly Father, once again, we're most grateful and thankful we can come together once again to put a message together for your people. Once again, we're most humble and grateful, Father, that you've used sinful mortal men like us to speak to your people. What an awesome responsibility, Father, for young men like ourselves in order to stand in the gap for you. But, Father, we realize that you said in your word that once we want to be led by your Spirit, you will lead and guide us into all truth. So today, Father, we pray that those who are listening would pick up their Bibles and turn to the Scriptures so they can see what you have to say to us in this present age in which we live. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Good afternoon and welcome to Turning Point, a program presented by Turning Point Ministry. Once again, we want to welcome our regular listening audience to our program this afternoon. And we'd like to say a special welcome to those of you who might be listening to us for the first time. Once again, we'll be continuing our subject on true prophet, false prophet, how to tell the difference. And at this time, we'd also like to remind you of our program that's coming up on the 19th of March. That's the 19th of March. That's Monday, the 19th of March. A two-hour live call-in show on a true prophet, how to tell the difference. It'll be 2 hours of live call-in. No commercials. That'll be commercial-free. So tell your family, friends, and co-workers that Turning Point will be on the air March the 19th from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. on this same station. If you have any questions that you might want us to answer on that night, give us a call at 322-6273. That's 322-6273. Now, if you have any comments or questions upon the program that we're doing this afternoon, you can also give us a call at 322-6273. We have persons manning the phone right now, so you can give us a call. Or if you want to write us, you can write us at P.O. Box N8993. Or if you want to email us, you could email us at tpministries@hotmail.com. Or you could visit our website at www.tpministries.org, where you'll find articles written by Brother Paul and by Brother Renwick. Also, you'll find the links to other very interesting websites that we use from time to time in study and just for general information. We want to apologize this afternoon, but Renwick is not with us this afternoon. So in the studio today, we have Brother Paul and myself, Brother Miller. So we will be continuing with that program, even though it's only me and Brother Paul. But before we get into our major topic this afternoon, we're going to ask Brother Paul, as normal, to give us a review of those things that appeared in the papers that may be of some spiritual or prophecy help to us. Brother Paul.
Thank you, Mr. Julian. Once again, good afternoon, Bahamas. Once again, one of the things that topped the news media this week and also most of the call-in shows is the murder statistic. The murder right now for the year 2007, when we're recording this program, is we have 13 murders. That's more than one murder a week, if you really should want to put it along those lines. You know, there are a lot of people now calling, once again, calling for the death penalty. There are also a lot of our brothers and sisters appear to be fearful. You know, but if you'll only go to the Word of God, the Bible is quite clear that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of a sound mind. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 21 that those who are fearful will be lost. So there's no reason for us to be fearful. Even Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 10 that you should not fear them that can kill the body, but rather fear him, which is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. But men are more fearful to the shotgun or to the knife or to any other crime or violence than they are to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When Jesus said himself that anyone who is living in sin, when he returns on the face of the earth, they'll find themselves in the lake of fire, which is only prepared for the devil and his angels. So why be more fearful of those things that only is going to be for a season? Because in a little while, the wicked of the Lamb will be wiped out. And if we are part of the wickedness, or we are part of any sin that is in our lives, just one sin, we will also find ourselves being cast away at the end of time into a burning lake of fire. And one day that fire will go out, and then the meek will be inherit the earth, according to Matthew chapter 5. So there's no reason for us to be fearful. Once again, we'd like you to pray for the family members of those that lost their loved ones. You know, this is a very trying time. I think about myself in 1999 when our brother Kendrick was shot to death after hard days of work. So I know how it is to feel the death of someone close to you being snatched away without you even thinking about it. This is not something you can plan for. It just happens, you know. And all this is a reminder that the world is wrapping up. And today I'd like to invite you once again to study the book of Matthew chapter 24. It is our Savior speaking there. And he laid down a very strong principle there. As a matter of fact, this principle that he laid down came of the disciples' curiosity. They wanted to know what the end of the world will be like. But here we are, just like Jesus penned it, just like how he spoke it, we are in those times today. That's Matthew chapter 24. As a matter of fact, in this Matthew chapter 24 and verse 8, he says, "And all these things are just the beginning of sorrows." He also tells us that we must not even worry about these things. Why is it we don't have to worry? Because we realize we have a resurrecting Savior who is willing to resurrect us out of our dead, out of our sleeping, whatever it may be, whenever he finds us. But many false prophets are among us, and they are deceiving many, saying things how they think and how they feel, never once going to the Word of God. And then also Jesus tells us in Matthew 24, verse 12, he said, "Because iniquity would abound, the love of many would wax cold." Surely men have forgotten the principles of God. Surely they have become to a point of maybe a reprobate mind. They don't want anything to do with the Word of the Lord. But you and I, who are Christians, who are standing on the principle of God's word, we have the assurance that when Christ comes, he will take us home to be with him. As long as we die faithfully, or we be alive faithfully when he breaks the clouds of glory. Let this be our hope as we continue to wait for our Lord, Son, and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Thank you very much, Brother Paul. And let us begin. My first question to you this afternoon is, did the prophets of old talk about how Jesus would deal with false prophets or those who tell lies?
Yes, Brother Jones. The sad part about this is he would not only cut off those who teach lies, but he also cut off those who are following those who teach lies. So in the Old Testament prophecy, Isaiah wrote this in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 13 to 16. He says, "For the people turn not unto him that smite them, neither do they seek the Lord of hosts. Therefore the Lord will cut off from Israel the head and the tail, the branch and the rush, in one day." That one day will be when the world is no more. Revelation chapter 20 talk about that day, when everyone will be destroyed. And he says in verse 15 of Isaiah 9, "And the ancient and the honorable," those who think they are selves honorable, those who are the ancient men of the town who think that they are more powerful or much more mighty than God, they think that's cast aside the principles of God. He said, this is what's going to happen to them. He said, "Even the head and the prophet that teaches lies, he is the tail." So only prophet that teaches lies, he is that tail. Remember, the same tail is what Satan used to cast with a third of the angels. The same thing, this tale always teaches lies. And then Jesus said this sad principle in verses 16 of Isaiah chapter 9. "For the leaders of this people cause them to err," or cause them to sin. "And they that are led of these leaders that cause them to sin are destroyed." That's strong language, ladies and gentlemen. So today you need to ask yourselves, are the members of Turning Point Ministry sharing the principle according to God's word, or are they sharing the gospel according to their opinion? There are a lot of ministers sharing the gospel according to their opinion. As a matter of fact, on Sunday past, Dr. Miles Monroe was on the television broadcast on TV 13, and if I understood him right, I recorded them to make sure I could quote him right. He was saying that the only person now is preaching the kingdom message is him. He began to name off some of the church, even include the Santa Ana church, which we are part. They are not preaching the so-called kingdom message. But you know, that's some strong language Pastor Monroe was speaking there. And if that is true, let me tell you how serious this language is that he is speaking there. If that is true, that means he has a responsibility to fulfill Matthew 24. Where Jesus says in Matthew chapter 24, he says, "In this gospel of the kingdom, should you preach out the whole world for witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." So that's Matthew 24 verse 14. So if he's the only person that has the kingdom message, if the Baptist, the Anglican, the Methodist, the Presbyterian, all these don't have this message, only he has this message, that means we have to listen to him. And if we don't share the message, the bad news is, according to Ezekiel 33, all of us are being held together. But we know that's not the case, ladies and gentlemen. The gospel is not private. It's given to every man on planet Earth, and surely if the Lord has given it to him, he has given it to the other. But there's some other question marks there with our brother, Dr. Miles Monroe, we will not get into right now. And the latest program we will deal with that as we continue to go to the program today.
Brother Paul, 2 Chronicles 7:14-15 says, and I think if my memory serves correct, it says something goes like this. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and then will they hear from heaven. We see from time to time that they have these, a lot of churches and ministers and even the country have these prayer vigils and all these things. How does that relate to this in terms of what we know about these churches?
The problem is, Brother Julian, they don't want to turn from their wicked ways. You see, it's wicked when the Bible says something and you don't want to do it. It's just as plain as that. When you read the Bible, you must take it just as it's read, just as how it is being written and how it's being read in your hearing ears. Read it out aloud. And the prophet, the text is right on, 2 Chronicles 7 says, if my people, well, all of us on planet, especially Bahamas, they believe they are God's people. They are called by his name. He said they shall humble themselves and they shall pray and they shall seek his face and turn from their wicked ways. And when you turn from your wicked ways, then will you hear from heaven and he'll forgive your sins and then he will heal your land or their land. So, and everyone wants the land to be healed, but it's on the condition that we will turn from our wicked ways. Verse 15 of the 2 Chronicles says, chapter 7 verse 15 says, and now mine eyes shall be open and mine ears attended unto their prayer that they have made in this place. So the Bible is quite clear. Until we turn from our wicked ways, until we stop eating cow and pork and keeping the holy day Sabbath day according to Exodus chapter 20 verse 8-11, until we stop keeping sweethearts, until we stop doing those things that are unpleasing to God, until we stop putting on our makeup and all of our jewelry, until we stop marrying men and marrying women marrying women and men marrying men. As a matter of fact, the Anglican Church, Bishop Gomez on the news again this week trying to figure out what to do with the homosexual brethren. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible still stands in Exodus chapter 20, thou shalt not commit adultery. You're having this big debate over Bishop Jane Robinson. I'm trying to figure out, who is Bishop Jane? Is he God? Does he have the power to just zap out the whole Anglican community if they go against what he is? There's a burnable thing that, as a matter of fact, Jesus talked about this too in Luke. As it was in the days of Lot, says Jesus, so shall it be when he returned. How was it in the days of Lot? Men were marrying men. They have been so far in their abominable lifestyle, when the Lord dispatched two angels from heaven, they wanted to go have sex with the angels. And the angels actually had to pull Lot into the house. These men were so aggressive in that day. And here we are today, Jane Robinson, left his beautiful wife, his beautiful two daughters, now laying a bed with a man. And the Anglican Church is trying to figure out what to do. And members go there week after week, say they're praying. No, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says a little sin leavens the whole lump. So that means if you're an Anglican today and you're under the sound of our voice and you stay there, as far as God is concerned, all of you all are committing a sin. It's just that simple. Jesus means what he says. The Bible says a little sin. You read that in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, if I'm not mistaken. The Bible says a little leaven leavens the whole lump. As a matter of fact, the Bible says in that same chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, you should not keep company with fornicators. Cast them away from you. So then why are you still there? The day or tomorrow, any Seventh-day Adventist minister, ladies and gentlemen, says, come to the public and say he's leaving his wife to marry some other man, you could be assured he'll be out of there before he even could open his mouth. I can assure you that. Me and Brother Julie will remove him ourselves, literally. I tell you that. This is serious business, ladies and gentlemen. See, sin is a serious thing. We'll go down there and we'll pull him or the conference office, wherever it is, and I tell you. Our church is serious when it comes to this business, ladies and gentlemen. If there's two things in our church that they don't play nonsense, when husbands and wives in the rank and file of the leadership do foolishness, they're out of there. Yes, they can still love them and they can reach out to them and they can show them compassion and love, but remember, ladies and gentlemen, the church is not going to rise no higher than its leadership. And that's why Isaiah says in Isaiah 9:16, for the leaders of this people cause them to sin, and they that are led of them are destroyed.
But Paul, I got to hop on this case with Bishop... The gay bishop,
Jane Robinson,
and I, because I got to say that, it seems as if that if he had left his wife for another woman, he would have been wrong. Much less leave his wife for another man.
That's right. As a matter of fact, when I was doing my research on Jane Robinson, when it's getting ready, leading up to his ordination, if my memory served me correctly, there were only three people in the whole stand that objected to him being ordained. And the presiding bishop, who was getting ready to perform the ceremony, told them to help get to the point. Whatever they have to say, they must say it quickly. Well, the point was, they were doing something that was, and when God looked down in heaven that day, There were only three people in the audience who were on the Lord's side. And the stadium was filled with people who were in support of this as if they were to a baseball game or to a football game. Ladies and gentlemen, all these things are pointing at us that the world is coming to an end. And this gospel that we have been preaching now for over 6,000 years, which began in the Garden of Eden, is going to the whole world for a witness. Like Brother Julian Obey says, not for everyone to change, it's for a witness. And be assured the Lord has taken an accurate record of who all listens to Turning Point every week. And he's writing all the names, all the convictions, all the times he's been pleading with you to turn. You know, you need to listen to see what those young men are saying. If it's true, follow it. If it's not true, then call them, rebuke them. Through the media, however you want to rebuke us, be open for rebuke. You could even write letters to the editor. You could even come and have your commercial play that those young men at Turning Point are doing things. As a matter of fact, you know, I like to throw out a challenge here to any ministers of the gospel and the sound of our voice. For the four, we're going on 5 years now of being here. We'd like to come and sit down with you, and if you're saying something that is not true, we'd like to bring you into the studio, and we'll listen to you. We'll ask the questions. And you will give us a biblical answer on why you think what we are sharing is not true. Any minister under the sound of our voice. And all that, and we give three sources we're going to let you use. You can use the Bible, you can use church history, and you can use world history to prove that what we are saying here week after week is not true. This is serious business, ladies and gentlemen, and that's why we ask you week after week. You are our listeners. You are our board members. You are the invisible ones who are behind the scene. Of all of you who call and encourage us through the writing of the articles in the paper or through this weekly radio program, we appreciate your calling. But remember, we must get the victory over every sin if you want to live in the presence of a holy and loving God.
But Paul, we have a very serious crime problem going on here now. I think just this week, there was a gentleman stabbed to death while getting buying a chicken in the bag. And if the news reports are correct, it all stemmed from the fact that someone looked at someone wrong or mentioned the fact that he looked at someone wrong. We have all this crime problem. And I think some of the leading ministers, or there was a leading minister this week who also talked about crime. And he made mention that crime is not political, which I agree, because PLP, FNM, and the whole, everybody commits crime. Doesn't matter. But he said that it's an immigration problem. Does the Bible talk about crime problem being an immigration problem, a political problem? What type of problem the Bible tells it is?
It's a sin problem, Brother Julian. S-I-N. And as a matter of fact, I had a minister stop at my shop this week, and I asked him to tell me what's the Bible definition of sin. And you know, this gentleman could not tell me what's the Bible definition, or he maybe refused to tell me, but if he couldn't tell me that sin is a transgression of God's law, to 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. It's a sin problem that leading minister, I mean, he's on two calling shows this week, that was Bishop Neil Ellis. And he was trying, and one of the things, what is printed in the guide, he said, I think this crime, or in the matter of dealing with crime, should bring us all together, should bring all political parties together to create some kind of national platform and present it to the wider community, to the church, the schools, and let us all come together and make it work, Bishop Ellis said. Ladies and gentlemen, there's no way all of us, do you think right now if I call Bishop Ellis today and say, Bishop Ellis, I'd like to be a minister at your church and I'll work there for free. Do you think you'd give me an opportunity to stand in this pulpit to preach the gospel according to Jesus Christ? It's another open invitation to any minister. We'll come to your church and we'll preach there every week. And we will share with your congregation why we are so convicted and basically we are sharing. It's the truth. We don't want no money. All we want is an open opportunity to share with our members, our brothers and sisters in the Bahamas, why we are convicted at this time. Sin is going to cause many of us to be lost. And that's the problem, Bishop Ellis, if you're listening today. It's a sin problem. And could it be you and other ministers like yourself some of the springing off of causing this problem with sin? Because remember now, Isaiah said the leaders of those people caused them to sin, and they that are there of them are destroyed. Are you teaching people all the commandments of God, Bishop Ellis? And all the other leading ministers, and not because I don't call your name, all ministers stand in this category, even the Senate Venice ministers, even our president, Dr. Johnson. It goes to him too. This is not just dealing with Bishop Ellis. This is not the word I'm looking for. We're not prejudiced here. This goes to every leading minister. Every minister under the sound of our voice. It's a sin problem that's going to cause us to be in the kingdom of hell. As a matter of fact, it's a sin problem why the prisons are filled. It's a sin problem because God forbid some young man or some young woman is planning right now to take with someone else. It's sin. S-I-N. As small as it is, it caused all of us today to have a bent towards sin simply because our foreparents ate a fruit. What the type of fruit is, I'm not even going to get it, because the Bible is they disobeyed God, and today all of us have a sinful nature. We have that bent towards sin. And the whole nation is crying out, wondering what to do. Well, what we need to do, we need to turn to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ without hesitation. Walk in the will of the Lord, and he will see us through even to the end before you return.
This crime problem is so serious, I think our prime minister said that there will be a shake-up on the police force. And I don't know what that's going to solve. But my question to you, Brother Paul, is if you had to sit in on a cabinet meeting and you had to give the prime minister and his ministers, the attorney general and the deputy prime minister and all the cabinet ministers advice concerning this crime or sin problem, what advice would you give him?
Well, Brother Julian, I'll go to make sure I quote the scriptures. I let the Bible speak on behalf of our Lord and Savior. You know, in Proverbs chapter 1, the prophet wrote down a very strong rebuke here and a very strong admonition to all of us to take heed to. And today, if the prime minister is listening, or maybe if he get a copy of this tape, or he maybe can listen on our website, which will be done in another week or two, you know, in Proverbs chapter 1, the prophet said, "Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour my spirit upon you. I'll make known my words unto you. Because I have called, and you refuse. I have stretched my hand, and no man regarded it. But ye have set aside all of my counsel, said the Lord, and you want none of my reproof." Listen to the strong rebuke coming from heaven. "I will also laugh at your calamities. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as a desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, and when distress and anguish come unto you, then will you call for me, says God." And guess what the answer is? "But I will not answer." Strong language here. That's Isaiah chapter 1 verse 20. I hope you have your Bibles turned there. He said, "You will call for me, says God." Proverbs 1:28. "And I will not answer." Listen to this part in the latter part of verse 28 of Proverbs chapter 1. "Then will you seek for me early, but they shall not find me." Like, you know, when you get up early in the morning, you go in your closet, trying to seek, but the Lord, you can seek me early. Why is this going to happen? Because you want none of my reproof. You set aside all of my counsel, and all of my things come from the Bible. Then it even gets worse than that. He said, for verse 29 of Proverbs chapter 1, "For that they hate knowledge, and that they chose choose not the fear of the Lord. They want none of my counsel. They despise all of my reproof. Therefore, said the Lord, shall they eat the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own device. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the posterity of fools shall destroy them." But there's some good news. I always thank God for the good news. Based on all that sort of commentary, the Lord just gives us in Proverbs chapter 1, beginning of verse 23 to verse 32. There's some good news. And this is the good news. But it's based on a but. But, every time you see that but, two things come off a but. Either falsehood or righteousness. And most times when Brother Julian talk to ministers, when they use that but, I can assure you whatever coming next, most times it be lies. But this is some good news coming from our Savior today in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 33. I hope you have your Bibles open. "But whosoever shall hearken unto me shall dwell safely." Isn't that good news? "Won't you hearken unto me, says God, you shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet, or shall be silent from fear and evil." And I say amen and amen. The problem is, do we want that good news? Or do we want the sad news of desolations to continue? Well, Mr. Prime Minister, you haven't seen nothing yet. Because Revelation 13 is just on the brink of being fulfilled. That's going to bring on the mark of the beast. And all those who don't follow will be killed. And this is going to be a religious war, Mr. Prime Minister. This is not going to be a war of gunmen shooting at one another, young men tugs, and this group against... No, this is going to be a religious war, Revelation 13. And Revelation 16 is going to give the sad result that those who receive the mark of the beast will have the seven last plagues fall upon. That's Revelation chapter 16. Will give us the seven last plagues. That's just around the corner. And Revelation 13 fulfilling the promise of the mark of the beast. But you know today, there are ministers of the gospel who are being paid plenty of money, who are telling that the mark of the beast, as a matter of fact, they teach that the book of Revelation is a closed book. But how can this be? When Revelation chapter 1 starts off, "Blessed he that read the word of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time as a time." Revelation chapter 1 verse 3.
But Paul, based on this advice that some of these ministers are giving the prime minister and their congregation, could it be that they have forgotten their charge?
They have, Brother Julian. When I think about, you know, I got to go right back to it. He just celebrated 20 years. You know, and I've been saying, Lord, for 20 years, Bishop Ellis has been in ministry. And I watched that program on TV on Sunday. I mean, it was in a burnabout. As a matter of fact, Bishop Gomez gave a strong rebuke to the audience. I don't know if they got it, but it was right on, you know, because as they was dancing around and boogieing all around, Bishop Gomez was standing straight up. Normally, how I would conduct myself in a service like that. He was straight-faced, and he realized that, hey, could it be this just the emotionalism of it? And the rebuke, as a matter of fact, that right there was the message right there for the whole congregation that was there that day. And that message was straight on. So today, if you missed that, and you have a copy of that tape, I want you to listen to Bishop Gumi. He was right on, lady, and he's not only speaking to you all, but he's speaking to himself, and he's speaking to us, all of us who's under the sound of his voice, that if we just on an emotional high here, we're going to lose our way. So today, let's read the charge. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 to 5. I charge thee, therefore, ministers of the gospel, the members of Turning Point, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who should judge the quick and the dead at his appearing of his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering doctrine. For the time will come, or should I say the time is here, when we are no longer enduring sound doctrine, but after our own selves lusting, and heaped up ourselves teachers having itchy ear. And they shall turn away their ear from the truth, and shall turn unto fables. But watch unto all things, endure the afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. And that's the charge what Paul gave to Timothy in the days of old, and that's the charge the Lord has given to us today. The time has come for us to preach the word, but what are ministers doing? They are building subdivisions. Here again on the same talk show, Bishop Ellis talking about the new subdivision he's building on John F. Kennedy Drive. The house in this subdivision is going to cost about $220,000. And I'm like, could it be Jesus not coming, ladies and gentlemen? Do you know how much is $220,000 in this day and age and would be a living? Do you know how much people can be touched up with the gospel by $220,000? And that's not even the interest yet. Ladies and gentlemen, if it was ever a time these ministers need to be held accountable at that time, it's surely now. They must be held accountable, ladies. And as long as I have a voice, ladies and gentlemen, I assure you, I will not let them slip by. As a matter of fact, when he was on the talk show with Steve McKinney last week, he said the only time a minister should take heed to criticism or when things are going wrong in his ministry is when the ministry more or less begin to fall apart. I'm more or less quoting him. I'm paraphrasing him. When you see the ministry begin like it's falling apart, then he should pay a heed to criticism. But this is not criticism, ladies and gentlemen. This is a call that if it is true, let's walk in it. If it's not true, then let's do away with it. After 20 years of ministry, ladies and gentlemen, you would have think that Bishop Ellis by now would realize that Saturday still is the Sabbath, according to Exodus chapter 20, verse 18-11. I was telling one of my customers just on Friday that I called Dr. Miles Monroe one day. He's on the talk show. He told me faithfully that he keeps the Sabbath every Saturday, him and his family members. But yet still, ladies and gentlemen, every Sunday you pass by Pastor Miles Monroe Church, it's open for business. But on Saturday, the day which Jesus went to church, according to Luke 4:16, it's closed down. What's going on here, ladies and gentlemen? I can tell you what's going on, but if I tell you, my call is Zedness to get sued. If you call me, I will tell you. You see, these ministers will do anything. If you say anything according to not to their likings, they will try to get you any way they possibly could. But you know, the Lord is on our side. And you know, and I believe it's time, like you know the psalmist David, it's time for you to wake, O Lord, because surely these ministers have made void, your Lord.
Let us pray. Most kind Father, we thank you once again, O Lord, for another opportunity to come before you. We come before you, O Lord, asking first for forgiveness of our sins and cleansing of our hearts and our minds. Lord, your word has gone forth. And Lord, we know there are many persons in the valley of decision deciding what they should do. But Lord, we ask that you would give them the power and the strength to continue to study your word and to move in the direction where your Holy Spirit should lead them. Give them and us that power, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Once again, that's on March the 19th. We'll have a live call-in show from 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock. So get ready for that. Our topic will be the false prophets in the world / ministers who are not speaking the truth. Once again, if you care to reach us, our telephone contact is 322-6273. On behalf of Renwick Bo, who's not here with today, and Paul Miller, who's speaking to you right now, until next week, may the peace of God be with you and your family.
And this is Julie Miller. May God richly bless you.